You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
On this Thursday, we'll check in with Chip Kelly of the UCLA Bruins in a couple of minutes here. This program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. It's the all-new GT four-door coupe because life is a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you missed any of our interviews this week or any week from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, go to the DP Show app or danpatrick.com. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave. Mercedes-AMG driving performance. A couple of headlines. Blazers, Grizzlies, Suns, Spurs still in the playoff mix. The Greek Freak suspended for one game with the headbutt. The NFL's coronavirus test rate under 1%. Big 12 is in. Nebraska and Ohio State maybe looking to play. From what I was told with Nebraska, if they decide to go rogue, the term that stood out was the season wasn't canceled, it was postponed, and that would make it harder for Nebraska to say, we want to go play football. Also, you have that question, at least I did. I was not playing, but Iowa State is playing. It's just two different philosophies with two different conferences there. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at DP Show. McLovin, the poll question.
Should they hand out the Heisman? 56% say no.
I have the odds before the pandemic. Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Derek King, Miles Brennan, Spencer Rattler, Adrian Martinez. How long has Adrian Martinez been at Nebraska?
Well, Taylor Martinez was there for 4 years, too. So
okay.
So he's a new...
just another... Martinez, okay, yeah. Okay. All right. So those are some of the top... Heisman candidates before they shut down the season. Let's bring in the UCLA head coach, Chip Kelly, who joins us on the program. Coach, how are you today?
I'm good. Trying to figure out how to navigate the next 6 months here.
How are you planning on doing that?
Well, we have to get rulings from the NCAA of what we're actually allowed to do with our players since the season has been postponed. So, you know, what can you do? Right now our guys are just lifting and running with our strength and conditioning coach. We haven't done any on-field work because we haven't actually been allowed to by the state and local authorities. So we were a little bit behind some of the other schools. You know, you look at network television and see other schools practicing, and we haven't been allowed to do that yet. So we're trying to navigate and put a schedule together of what the next couple of months will look like.
How were you told that the season was postponed?
We had a meeting on Monday night with all the coaches and the athletic directors, and then with the medical staff, the COVID medical staff for the league, and they kind of gave us a lot of statistics of what's going on in the Pac-12 communities in terms of rates of COVID in the areas that we live in. Then they talked a little bit about the cardiac implications that they're starting to learn about with COVID. And then they talked about testing. And so that was Monday. Tuesday, there was going to be a meeting on Tuesday morning with the CEOs, the presidents, and the chancellors of the university. And then they would vote on it, on what was going to be the determination of when do we play. And then I would get told around 1 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon that there was going to be a press release, so we were going to postpone the season.
If it was a coach's vote, how would that have gone to play football?
That's... you know what? I don't know if we would have voted after listening to the medical people talk. You know, I think going into that meeting, everybody was really gung-ho about getting back with our players and understanding, you know, that there are implications for COVID and everybody knew it. But I think after our meeting with the medical people, there were some eye-opening things there, at least for myself, that I was unaware of at the time. So,
what stood out? Can you give me one of those bullet points?
Yeah, you know, I think the increased concern over the cardiovascular thing, when you look at Eduardo Rodriguez, the pitcher for the Red Sox, who's out with an inflamed heart, the young man in Indiana, you know, Feeney. The offensive lineman that had an incident. They brought up there was a pitcher in the Tacoma area in Washington, a high school kid, 18-year-old kid that died from COVID in the springtime, and that could have been part of it also. So some of those things, I think, there was also a basketball player that played at Florida State that was playing overseas that passed away. So they came, you know, that starts to hit home a little bit when you're starting to hear about, you know, it's a little bit. And the other thing that we were made aware of is that you could be asymptomatic and still have heart issues. And some of these heart issues wouldn't be detected unless you had a cardiac MRI. And those are a little bit different and hard to get from a testing standpoint is the way they explained it to us.
How did you tell your team?
We had a Zoom meeting. You know, we're still not allowed to meet with them with that many people in person. So we got the news at 1, and then we got everybody on a Zoom call at 1:30. And then our position coaches called everybody individuals, and we're in the process of touching base with all of our kids individually. And then I was down at workouts yesterday. I'll be back down again today to talk to them face-to-face, or mask to mask, I should say.
Yeah. I'm trying to understand this, Chip, where the information you have with the Pac-12, how is that different? Is it different than what the ACC or the SEC or the Big 12 have or the Big 10 has? I would love these medical communities to get together and make it on a Zoom call and share their information. Like, we should understand this, I think, to be fair to the sport, student athlete, and really to society. What is at stake here, and what are we finding out, and why aren't we cross-pollinating and sharing that information?
That's a great point. You know, I don't know how that community talks. The other issue is that the prevalence of cases in the Pac-12 communities is different than the prevalence of cases in Nebraska, so to speak. So I think there's also, there can't be a one size fit all from the, as I understand this, because it, some areas have been infected a lot more and other areas aren't as infected, you know? So, I think that has to be taken into consideration. There are different parts of the country that aren't as infected as this, and that's the deal. And then the next step becomes testing. So if you have a community that has a lot of COVID cases, then your testing is slower than places when there's not a lot of it. That's why I don't think there's a one-size-fit-all for some of these things, and that's where it gets frustrating when you look at it overall and say, how come, and we have to answer those questions, how come they can practice and we can't practice? But there were times earlier when we would send tests away, but it would be take 7 to 10 days to get test results back. And understanding that is that we're trying to get our asymptomatic third string left guard tested, and there's people on ventilators that need to get tested. Yeah. So there's a, you know, there's a social responsibility that goes along with it too, when you're in a community that has a lot of COVID cases.
Has it hit you yet that you're not going to be coaching football this fall?
A little bit. But obviously it's not all us. I mean, women's soccer can't play. You know, I go back to the spring when we were sitting in a meeting and our basketball coaches, you know, Corey Close and our women's basketball team was getting ready to be a high ranked team in the NCAA tournament. So they were affected. Our baseball and softball teams were affected in the springtime. So it is football, and that's our job, and that's our lives, and that's what we care about our players. But everybody's been affected by this. Mike Yam, who's a great sports media guy out here in the Pac-12, I just saw that he just got released and is not working because the Pac-12 network isn't going to be broadcasting games in the fall. So it's a little bit bigger, and I think we have to step back as individuals and say, poor me. There's a lot of people that have had implications from this, and we somehow have to get a handle on it because it's not just sports related, it's everything related. And when you get a death toll over 160,000 in this country, you know, sometimes when you say, hey, I can't play football, I maybe there's some other things that are a little bit more important than us playing football right now.
I know you hope to play football in the spring. Do you expect to play football in the spring?
You know what, that's a great question, Dan, and I don't know if we can. And I've said that, you know, can you play two seasons in one calendar year? And what is that toll? Our whole goal and everything we do, and our chancellor said it, our North Star that guides us is the health and safety of our players. So, you know, we better really look as from a health and safety standpoint, say we have a vaccine. Can you actually play a football season in the spring and then come back and play a football season in the fall? That's never been done, but I think we need to look into that part too, before we just say, hey, automatically, we're just going to play in the springtime because, you know, how safe is that? And I don't know that information. And when we get to situations where it's medical and some of those things, I'm going to defer to the experts in terms of what they will tell us in it because I don't have the answers on that situation.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you. Do we know if players are going to be able to transfer? Are you aware, concerned if any of your players would be able to go and try to play someplace this fall?
Yeah, we haven't heard anything from the NCAA. They just made a ruling yesterday about eligibility. You know, you would retain your eligibility if you opted out or if you played in less than 50% of the games. So that's the first ruling that we've gotten. I think this is all new for everybody, you know, as it came down with both the Big Ten and the Pac-12. And then, you know, I know obviously we're the Power Five conferences, but you feel for the guys in the Mountain West and the MAC. You know, they're done. And then people have already forgotten about the Ivy League and Division II and Division III. And, you know, we're not the only ones that have this, but the NCAA has to really come out quickly here with some rulings for everybody, because players have to make decisions. So I don't know exactly what that ruling is, and would kids be instantly eligible or not instantly eligible? And there's a lot of work to be done, even though we're not playing football, but there's a lot of work to be done, especially administratively.
How about USC and UCLA just have a scrimmage in November and we televise it? You okay with that?
I would love that. And I think Clay would love that too. And we could put a bubble over the Rose Bowl and spend, you could live up at the Rose Bowl for a couple weeks so that we made sure there was no COVID and then go play. I think that would be a great experience for everybody.
That'd be great. Coach, good luck. And thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
That's Chip Kelly, UCLA head coach. You know, it's a whole new world of trying to figure out what is going to happen. And are you going to lose players? I know that we talk about the hope of playing in the spring. I think it's going to be difficult for these schools that have already opted out to all of a sudden say, now we're going to play. I don't know what will change. Hopefully something changes, but you can tell it and you can hear it in his voice. I don't think he's planning on playing football in the spring. All right, some phone calls here. You know, it does get to you after a while. I know that you getting this information, me delivering this information, you know, I get bummed out about it. Because you want this to happen. But more than just football, you want people to be healthy, to have normal lives. Restaurants, everything that's being shut down. People in my industry who have lost their jobs because of this. Now, we're fortunate. You know, there's only less than, 10 people who work on this show. And we're fortunate to be able to go to work every single day, not take pay cuts. You know, there are people who are really struggling in a variety of ways. And I know health-wise, but just the sports aspect of it, people losing their jobs. And I don't know if it's going to get better anytime soon. I hope that the SEC, ACC, Big 12, they can pull this off and maybe other schools, conferences follow suit. I hope. I just have to have my doubts. It's just I have to be based in reality here. The NFL starts 4 weeks from tonight. I think the NFL is going to start. I think they got a pretty good infrastructure going on right now. I just worry 6, 7, 8 weeks into the season, do you start seeing players who start to feel a little friskier and they want to get out and have some fun? Because you saw that with the Cleveland Indians. We saw that with some of the St. Louis Cardinals, the Miami Marlins. When you go rogue, now you put your entire team in jeopardy and other teams in jeopardy. That's what happened with, you know, the idiots with the Marlins and the Cardinals, and you go out and then you come back. Now those other teams that did it right, now they have to try to make up these games, and it's not fair to them. And then you have the Cleveland Indians pitchers. They go out on the town in Chicago. That's what worries me about the NFL. They're going to start. They're going to have good safety measures in place. But what happens when somebody says after 7 or 8 weeks, I got to get out. I got to go do something. I think you're starting to see some of these NBA players and how they're acting, reacting. What happened with the Greek Freak with a headbutt? You know, what's going on? Damian Lillard and the Clippers. And like, it feels like they're just, you know, you're cordoned off from society, from the world. You're truly in a bubble and you start to go stir crazy. And I think you're starting to see that with the NBA. LeBron hinted at something the other day. I don't know what it was, but he talked about something that's off the court. I don't know what that is. And I'm trying to figure that out because I don't know what he's alluding to. But he was saying it, and he wanted it to get out, but I don't know. But he said he didn't want to talk about it. I don't know what that is, but there's something there. Chad in Minnesota is joining us, and we'll get a couple more phone calls in here. Hey, Chad, what do you have?
How about a stat of the day?
Oh, okay. Let's fire up the music for Chad.
Can I get Darius?
Oh. You want Darius Rucker?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here, Chad, let me see if we can find Darius Rucker here for you. Stat of the
day. Been a while since I heard that
Okay. Let me see if we can.
You're going to have to give me a second.
Okay. All right.
Give me that beat.
Okay. Let's see if we can. Here we go.
Stat of the day.
Stat of the day. No, Chad, you're screwing it up. Chad, you asked for Darius and you screwed it up.
I started. I'm mad. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm going to try it one more time. Here we go.
All right.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, here comes the stat of the day, yay, stat of the day, stat of the day, here comes the stat of the day.
The Toronto Blue Jays, fourth team in MLB history to hit 7 home runs and lose.
Okay.
Here comes the stat of the day.
All right. That's Chad letting it breathe. Thank you, Chad.
That's one of the best we've ever had.
Yeah.
By far, one of my most favorite stat of the days.
That's
ever.
My favorite stat of the day that we've had in the last 5 minutes. The Blue Jays, the first team in baseball history to have at least 18 hits, 7 home runs in a game, and still lose. I think Chad had to add a little bit more there. Chris in Virginia, then we'll take a break. Hey, Chris, what do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan, 5'10", 150. Okay. First of all, it's ridiculous you didn't win the sports. ridiculous. Second of all, we had a question. We're big Hard Knocks fans in this house. We're big Chargers fans. But so there was that scene where Jalen Ramsey was being asked about his contract.
Yep.
And, you know, it was clear like he didn't want to give an answer, but these reporters like kept pushing. So I'm just sort of curious, like as a journalist, like when do you make that cut between like asking a question again and again when you're not going to get an answer and potentially alienating a source and moving on? So, I'm just sort of curious about your take on that.
You mean like when I had Kyler Murray on and I kept asking him questions and he didn't answer any of those questions, that kind of moment? I saw that on Hard Knocks with Jalen Ramsey. And I don't think Jalen understood. The reporters are asking, is your contract going to be an issue when the season starts? And then he says, hey, you know, it's my agent and the team are taking care of that. So instead of saying, he eventually got around to saying it. They asked him 3 times. And he walked out and then he came back and he said, hey, you know what? You keep asking me, and I'm giving you the answer that I want to give you. I'm not going to change my answer, basically, was what he was saying. But all they wanted to know is this going to be an issue if it's not signed, settled before the start of the season? And if he would have said, my agent and the team are working on this right now, but I can't be concerned with it. It won't bother me once I start playing football. Then that's it. Then it goes away. He made it a more uncomfortable situation because he wasn't answering it. They're asking something specific. Is this going to be, you know, something that bothers you when the season starts? And I would have kept asking. I would have asked one more time and I would have said, Jalen, I want you to understand what I'm asking you. I know that the team and your agent are going to work on this contract. They're working on this contract. How is it affecting you? That's what I want to know. How is this affecting you? And then if he says, it's not. Or if he says, look, my agent and the team are working on this, then I would have said, all right, fine. I'll close up shop and we'll move on to something else. I don't want to be antagonistic, but I also want you to know exactly what I'm trying to ask you. And I tried to do that with Kyler Murray when he joined us at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. I was trying to help him. And look, you're going to take Gatorade's money and sit down and do these interviews. You're getting paid to do these interviews. And he just sat there and didn't say anything. And then he looked over to his dad as if, can I say something? And I was like, you got poor advice. You got really poor advice, kid. And you're embarrassing yourself here. And I was trying to get him off the hot seat, and he just wouldn't help. Yeah, Paulie.
I actually watched a clip of that for the first time in a long time the other night.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you were laughing and keeping it fun. And you were asking different versions of questions like, why would you go to the combine or not go to the combine? He goes, well, if I told you that, I'd be telling you what I'm doing. And you're like, no, you just tell me why you would or wouldn't if you're playing football. And he just kind of locked up.
And I got information that morning that he was going to be playing football. I wanted him to tell me, because you know, if I would have said, from a source is telling me you're playing football, I wouldn't have gotten anything. I wanted him, he wanted to be mysterious with it. I got it. But don't take Gatorade's money and sit down in the chair without me asking you questions.
You could tell that whole week the marketing people were enjoying the fact that he was getting all his attention. Once he makes his decision, he becomes somewhat less interesting.
Oh, no, he was more. He would have been more interesting if he had made up his mind to play football, because then he would have answered the question.
I guess what I mean is he was an unanswered question walking around Super Bowl week.
Yeah, but he embarrassed himself. That's where, if I'm a marketing company, and powerful as Gatorade is, hey, let's get our answers straight of what we're going to say. You have a mock interview process, and you say, they're going to ask you this, how are you answering? They're going to ask you this, how are you going to answer? You can't go out there and go, hey, I'll just kind of, I don't know, ad-lib my way through it. It didn't go well. But yeah, you can ask, but you got to be respectful. But also, I want you to understand what I'm asking, what I want an answer for. 22 after the hour, Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football. We always love talking to him. He's got a new podcast. His first guest was Aaron Rodgers, and it was really revealing, including Aaron Rodgers' take on the media. We'll have that for you, and Kyle will join us as well. 22 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. LegalZoom is here to help you navigate this whole new world out there. And maybe you've been wondering about the best way to protect your family or starting a business, maybe restarting a business. If you have legal questions, don't let them hold you back. LegalZoom has been dedicated to helping you with the right solutions for more than 19 years. If you're looking to protect your family with a will or living trust, or you're thinking about maybe the right way to start a business, a DBA, an LLC, a nonprofit, LegalZoom's got you covered. They're not a law firm. That's a good thing. You don't have to leave your home, and you don't get charged by the hour. You can get started online. And if you need guidance, their network of independent attorneys will provide advice to ensure that you make the right choices. Can't say enough about our partnership with LegalZoom. Great people. Visit LegalZoom.com today to take care of some of the important things that you need to get done. Maybe some of the things during the pandemic that you've been holding off doing. That's LegalZoom.com, LegalZoom, where life meets legal. And once again, you need to make it legal. Make it LegalZoom.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. I just saw this tweet from the Phoenix Suns, their website. Good morning to everyone except at Memphis Grizzlies and at Portland Trailblazers. Yes, McLevin.
Wasn't the Phoenix Sun introduction of having the family members come? That I teared up watching.
That was really emotional with family members who were doing the introduction, and the players did not know that. I thought it was really well done. Kyle Brandt, co-host of NFL Network's Good Morning Football, and he's got a new podcast. And his first guest with his podcast was Aaron Rodgers. The new podcast, 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, now available on Spotify, YouTube, and Aaron Rodgers. And they created some headlines a couple of weeks ago when some of the excerpts leaked out, or they had them leak out. And Kyle joins us now on the program. Congrats on the podcast there. Nice get, the first guest there, Kyle.
Thanks, Dan. I'm thrilled to be here. And if you're starting a podcast, you better have a banger first track on that album or somebody's going to the other one. It's tough out there in the podcast streets. A lot of traffic. So Rodgers did me a huge solid, man.
Now, sources close to me tell me that Aaron Rodgers was drinking scotch throughout the two-hour interview on your podcast. Is it mandatory that every guest will be drinking to answer your questions?
Absolutely. They have to sign something that says not only will they drink, Dan, they will drink heartily. I did this on a Friday night. It was in the evening. I mean, this is like 8 or 9 o'clock. It's just when he could do it. And he sits down and he's got a massive glass of scotch. And we talked for almost 2 hours, Dan. He pulled from the scotch throughout, up through high wire act questions, difficult topics. You could almost play a drinking game, just drink every time Rodgers drinks. And it's ironic because he's the one who got his chops busted because he couldn't chug a beer. And everyone said, ha ha, you can't chug a beer. This guy can put it back like Daniel Day-Lewis and there will be blood. It was so much whiskey. And still, he was so erudite and open. It was a dream shot.
What's the most honest or revealing moment you had?
Well, a couple. In a long talk, there was a couple. On the surface level, Dan, I was shocked to find out that Aaron Rodgers is a massive karaoke guy, and his go-to song is an 80s power ballad by the Scorpions called Wind of Change, which is about socioeconomic politics in the Soviet Union. It's a heavy jam, but he goes to that routinely and apparently has karaoke parties in Green Bay after games.
Okay. Now, what was the revealing moment that, like, was there something? Because we know what's happened in the offseason here when he found out they were taking Jordan Love.
Yeah. The most revealing moment, I think this what's really was startling about it, Dan, was just there was such certainty in the way he spoke about the end of his times in Green Bay. He knows for a fact that clear as day that he will one day play an NFL game without a Green Bay Packers uniform because he doesn't want to stop playing. He wants to play well into his 40s. I'm talking another 5, 6, 7 seasons. And there was no frustration, no anger, almost a touch of sadness. But when you talk about how's this thing going to end, he just says, well, they're going to go with the kid. They're going to go with Jordan Love. I know that for a fact. And it's not as if he spent the summer wrestling with it after the pick. I think he just is so calm. And I was expecting some frustration, especially as the scotch kicked in. But no, it just calm certainty as if someone who knows what their fate is and they're just going to ride it out.
He's Kyle Brandt, co-host of NFL Network's Good Morning Football. 10 questions with Kyle Brandt, his podcast now available on Spotify and YouTube. I wanted to bring this up and play it for you, play it for the audience. Okay. And it's a little bit lengthy, but it has to do with Aaron Rodgers' view, his take on the media. So this is part of the podcast.
What I, you know, laugh at, do not spend any time watching, but unfortunately, you know, it's usually like ESPN's on here and you know, the network's on over there, kind of in our cafeteria. It's just like four guys, you know, four men or four women, whoever it shakes out, and everybody's just trying to say the most outlandish thing possible to get the most clickbait. And I've said it many times about clickbait. My problem with putting ridiculous headlines on the stories is that in this culture where the attention span is so short for so many people, even people probably listening to this interview or watching this who, you know, can't stay on the entire time because they got other things to do and other things looking at their phone. You know, it's like all they're going to read is 8 words on an ESPN front page. And that, and they think that's going to, you know, that's what these people are trying to get people to click on because they get a 1 second page, you know, 1 second on that page, that counts the page view. And the more page views you get, the more ad revenue you get. And I think it's really low class journalism. It's like some of the headlines that get put on some of these articles that have nothing to do with what's actually content wise in the article. I think it's poor journalism. I think it's a total lack of integrity. And I don't want to listen. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to listen to four people, you know, on some show yelling at each other about opinions that do they really feel that way? Is that like, well, they're just trying to be the most outlandish, you know, opinion possible so they get the most views when it gets, you know, retweeted on Twitter or posted on a 10-second blurb on ESPN.com or something. I just think it's, I think it's really done a disservice to the, you know, to the industry of journalism for sure.
So what'd you make of that?
It's very surprised. The question was just, hey, Aaron, you watch a lot of football TV. What's your least favorite kind? What's the little pet peeve you had? And I thought he was going to go to X's and O's because I know he's spoken before about analysts doing X's and O's drives them crazy because they always have it wrong. And we'd have some laughs. But he took a deep breath. He kind of loosened his neck up and then he let it rip. And it goes on and on. And we talk about some of the debate shows and ESPN shows. And I mentioned Stephen A. by name. And there's an inference of the Bayless types and whatnot. And he uses words like sellout and he uses words like integrity. And he was really, really, really pissed about that whole thing. And I was surprised by it. But I think there's a lot of scar tissue there. That seemed to me like one of these things, just let it all out after years and years and years. Just a couple other things, Dan, if you pay attention to him really closely, I know you've spoken to him a bunch. I can't put words in his mouth, but there seems to be some problem with ESPN as a whole. There's another part in our conversation where he was talking about the summer of 2008, which was a huge summer for him because it was the Favre vacillating between retiring and is it going to be Aaron or not? And he said he was in Tahoe playing on the golf tournament. He just as a throwaway comment, he says, you know, I did the Sunday conversation because they tricked me into that. And I followed on it and he kind of didn't want to get into it anymore. But there seems to be an ESPN issue. Again, I can't speak for him, but in 2 hours of talking, I think it was his most passionate, vein in the neck bulging type rant. And I think there's more where that came from.
Just so you know, full disclosure, I verbally spanked you a couple of weeks ago when you sent out a tweet about people in the industry maybe rooting against the football season. So I wanted to give you that opportunity to maybe clarify, or maybe it was semantics, or maybe you didn't understand that how people were going to take that. But you kind of said, I'm not quoting verbatim, but there are people in the industry who are rooting against the football season to start, right? And I told you so.
Yeah, I think it was, it almost feels like certain people in the football industry are rooting for the season to be affected.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been asked, do I regret tweeting that? And Dan, for people who you were listening, who don't know me, I'm not a provocateur. I don't lob grenades on Twitter. I don't say things. I don't incite. It's just not how I make my living. So sure, I regret it just because there are some people who are really insulted by it. And there are people who I respect, and even more importantly, people that I like that were insulted by it. And it sounds like maybe I'm talking to one. But at the same time, the reason why the tweet resonated and the reason why it's interesting isn't just because I made a stupid tweet and pissed people off. It's because in addition to all the people who were mad about it, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of likes. It seemed to tap into something that people also felt, which was very strange. Yeah. And I'll tell you this, Dan, if I could go back, I wouldn't tweet it because I'm not in the business of just pissing people off. But I also didn't take it down because I do think that there is a thread of truth to what I tweeted.
Yeah. And look, it didn't ruin my day. I just, you know, my point is that it makes my job easier when there is the NFL. It makes my job easier. People accused me on Monday when I had this story, college football is closing up shop in the Big Ten and Pac-12. People said, oh, you're getting your wish. My job has been so much tougher the last 4 months. Now we have sports. I can't imagine not having football in the fall, certainly with the NFL. So it didn't ruin my day. I felt bad for you because I understood what you were saying. I just don't know if you knew how people are going to consume it in the industry.
I think you're probably right. And listen, I make my living off football every morning too. I've taken a pay cut already. I may take another. And of course, you know, Dan, the columnist and the radio host and the NFL lifer, of course, they're not rooting for the season to be affected at all. Yeah. But it was the end of the show. It was a long show. It was a tedious show. And the Miami Marlins news started coming down. And I just got kind of depressed. I didn't like it. I felt bad. I felt down on myself. And you go to Twitter, which is the worst decision possible. And I got pissed off by some of the tone that I was reading. It's just, listen, all of you, me, of course we're rooting for this season. I think, though, there is a small yet pungent minority who are rooting for the NFL to be humbled.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I was responding to.
Yes. And I think that, you know, we've heard that with baseball. Anytime I bring news that's negative news, I get people who say, oh, you might be getting your wish. My wish is that we have sports. You know, that's all. Like you're blaming the pizza guy, the delivery guy, if the pizza's bad. I didn't make it. I'm just delivering it to you. Sources close to me tell me that you have a couple of questions for me. You're going to turn the tables, Kyle. Is that what you're going to do?
All right. Well, Dan, this is my chance
to Paulie, get you. Wait, Paulie, you got some scotch?
You already had some.
Oh. I got some tequila.
All right. So the deal is, Dan, with the new show, I had to do something different. I can't just sit down and have a guest on and ask a couple questions. I don't have the platform or maybe the talent. So I asked Rodgers, and I've asked Paul Rudd and Tyrann Mathieu and Kirk Cousins. You asked them a trivia question. Could be totally random. Okay. If they get it, they get a point. If they don't, they get nothing. And then we reveal how it's attached to their life. So would you be willing to indulge in two questions?
Sure.
You're in.
Sure, why not?
All right, here we go. Dan Patrick, question number one. Your category is breakfast.
Okay.
Dan, what sugary breakfast cereal is infamous for cutting the roof of your mouth when you eat it?
Captain Crunch always did that for me.
Captain Crunch is right. Dan Patrick, that is right. It is Captain Crunch, the Navy man. And the reason I'm asking you about Captain Crunch, Dan, is that you have a history with a different captain, a very infamous one by the name of Captain Jenks.
Yes.
And you and I have joked about this off the air, but I never got to ask you about it. You were interviewing a farcical Steve Bartman on SportsCenter when Howard Stern prankster Captain Jenks got you on live TV. Incredible moment. When you look back on that, Dan, do you shake your head or do you laugh?
I laugh because there was nothing. I love Captain Jenks and Howard Stern. So part of me is like, damn, I'm going to be on Howard Stern's show. But the other part of me is, holy bleep, I'm live on SportsCenter, and I got humbled. I won an F Emmy by Howard and Robin. So part of me was very proud that I screwed up to get on Howard's show. The other part was, I'm live on SportsCenter, and that's not Steve Bartman I'm talking to.
Dan, I say this with due respect. I've watched you for decades. It's one of my favorite moments of your broadcasting career. Because the reaction when he says, do you like Howard Stern's bleep cheese?
Yeah.
You take a deep breath, you look down, and then you look at the camera and say, we've been had.
Yep.
That was not Steve Bartman. And then listen up. Coming up, we'll play Fact or Fiction, and Warren Sapp has gone from Hunter to the Hunted. More SportsCenter after this. The recovery was incredible to that left hook.
Oh, I'm sweating as we speak with you retelling that. Any other questions?
All right, so you're one for one.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Question number two.
Okay.
Let's see if we can stay hot, Dan Patrick.
Okay.
No
okay.
help from the Danettes, please.
Okay.
Your category is cinema. What actress was nominated for an Academy Award for her role in the film Casino?
Sharon Stone.
Patrick's on fire. Ding! 2 for 2.
I'm in fuego. Yeah, I'm as hot as the fake fireplace behind you there, Kyle. That is
started that fireplace.
It almost looked real. It almost looks real.
It's the fire from my takes, Dan. You know that's what you got to have these days. The hot
takes. Yeah.
You said Sharon Stone, the connective tissue to you there. Stone, I also think of Stone Cold Steve Austin. One of my favorite SportsCenter commercials is when you hit him with a steel chair. What are your memories of hitting Stone Cold with a chair?
Well, he told me to do it harder. And he put this little pad on the middle of his back. And he had back issues. And so the whole premise was, he's there studying in our break room. I come in, I'm doing late night SportsCenter. And he's got to stretch a little bit. And he goes, can you help me here, Dan? And I grab this metal chair that I still have. It's in the studio somewhere. And I hit him. And the paper on the wall, bulletin board, was like, whoosh. And he goes, you got to make it real. You got to hit me harder. And I go, okay. After the fourth time, I was like, all right, I'm bringing all the cheese I got. And I hit him so damn hard, and he didn't budge. And he just thanked me that I hit this little pad on his back, because I couldn't imagine. If I missed, I would have broke something on him.
The last one, you crow hopped and did a full a Vlad Guerrero throw from the warning track.
Yeah.
Dan, my last follow-up is, when it came to the This Is SportsCenter commercials and the casting, did it get really competitive amongst anchors, and were their feelings hurt?
Yeah, there were people who didn't want to be part of it. I remember Bob Lee and some other anchors, they were above it. I will say that if there was a commercial shoot, a promo shoot, Stuart Scott would have been first in line to be there no matter what. Stuart was always, if you needed a SportsCenter anchor, Stuart Scott was there. We did have people who were lobbying for certain commercials with certain sports stars. And then we had, like, Gordie Howe was going to be with Oberman. Lance Armstrong was going to be with me. They, you know, some athletes ask for certain anchors to be in their promos. But competitive, yeah, a little bit, but you know what, that changed SportsCenter. That ad campaign was one of the great ones in history. But I gotta go. I can't just sit here. It's not a 2-hour podcast where I can just drink scotch. But congratulations on it's great to talk to you, and give my best to Good Morning America. Good Morning Football America. Good Morning America Football.
I will do that, Dan. You can spank me anytime.
Thank That's Kyle Brandt. He's the popular co-host of NFL Network's Good Morning Football and 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt. Now available on Spotify and YouTube. We'll take a break. Phone calls are coming up next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Kyle Brandt brought up that commercial I did with Stone Cold Steve Austin. This is the metal chair that I used that I smacked him in the back. You can see if you're watching on youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. There's dents here where I hit him so hard. And then he signed it for me. I don't know what he wrote on it other than their Stone Cold Steve Austin. But there's some dents on this thing, man. Because people said, was that a real metal chair? I said, yes, it was. But he had a real small patch on his back padding. And I had to hit that every single time. Couple of phone calls in here. Larry in Arizona joins us. Hey, Larry, what's on your mind?
Hey, Dan, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to thank you for having Chip Kelly on, finally a football coach who actually seems concerned about the safety and health of his players.
I thought it was a good appearance by Chip Kelly. And he normally is not a great media person, doesn't get along with the media, doesn't share very much, but thank you. I thought that what he was saying sounded like not a coach, just a person. You know, he was just talking about the local concerns that they have in Los Angeles with COVID and trying to get tested. And I don't know if he's planning on spring football. You hope for spring football. I don't think he's planning on spring football. Kyle in Pennsylvania. Hi, Kyle. What do you have for me today?
Good morning, Dan. How you doing?
Hi, Kyle.
So I just wanted to ask, 6 foot, 233. So I wanted to ask about the scholarship cap of 85 players per university. I keep hearing the media discuss the options of players like the best tight end in the country, Pat Freiermuth from Penn State, and Justin Fields transferring to an SEC school. Well, they still have to give their scholarship restrictions. So does that mean another kid is going to have to, from like Clemson, is going to have to give his scholarship up so someone can join the team and make a super team?
Yes.
And go Flyers.
All right. Thank you, Kyle. I'm going to guess if I could get Justin Fields, Jimmy Lipper. Sorry, we're going to take away your scholarship. But next year, we're going to put you on scholarship. Yes, Week 11.
It's like September. You can't just pull a kid's scholarship right now, can you?
It's not September.
Well, it's 2 weeks away. It seems late to pull a scholarship. That's a great question.
I don't know. You might just say to Justin Fields, come on down, play. You're not going to be on scholarship, but, you know, we'll make sure that we take care of you.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's going to get in the way of somebody like that, of that magnitude transferring there. But they're just addressing this now. The NCAA is just getting around to addressing this. And they're probably going to, it's going to be 2 weeks probably before they come up with a decision. We reached out to the Heisman Trust. Are they going to give out a Heisman? Now, I think they will this year. But I don't know if they've even broached the topic of voting on this. But I think the board of directors is going to meet in the next week and they're going to decide if they're going to hand out a Heisman Trophy this year. You know, in fairness to them, let's wait and see how much football we have, how much is played before we're going to hand out national title and Heisman Trophy and all of that. All right, final hour coming up, more phone calls. Also, if you miss this guy in Australia butchering the Greek freak's name, I'll play that for you coming up next hour. Ohio State's head coach Ryan Day talks about exploring options to play again this season. And Dak Prescott talks about his contract. All of that coming up. Final hour, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show.